Well, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God here. Ephesians chapter 2. This is our theme verse for the year. This is something every week we're praying that God would birth in us. So if you're ready, let's prepare to read this together. You ready? Okay, let's do it right now. Jesus brought this good news of peace to you who were far away from Him. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. You are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We are carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through Him, you are also being made part of the dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Now, if you have your Bible, I don't have this on the screen, but you might open up to Joshua chapter 1. It's in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, okay? And open there, and as you turn there, just listen to this this passage out of Galatians. Turn to Joshua. I'm going to share out of Galatians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass or sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and when he has... let him examine, and when he, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. I'm going to break some of that down in just a moment, but are you in Joshua chapter 1? I'm just going to read a couple selected verses here. This is all going to tie in together. I'm laying foundation. Starting at verse 1, Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness of the Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for the people you shall divide is an inheritance, the land I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall meditate in it day and night and will observe and do according to what is written in it, for then you will take away your... Then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Now, you guys got to be receiving this for yourself. Here's the last verse. And have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, I pray that your anointing and your blessing would rest mightily upon this word. Oh God, I just ask that even as we look at Lord, the life of Joshua and what you spoke to him, Lord, I believe there's so many parallels that we can pull, even in our own life, where you're taking us as King's Chapel Lahaina. Lord, what you want to do in all of West Maui and in each one of our lives personally. Oh God, I know you've got great blessing. You have great favor. You have great prosperity that you want to release in our lives. And God, I pray that even as you said of Joshua, that we would be a strong and of good courage, that we would stand on your word. We would not be dismayed. We would not be afraid. We will not give up until we have attained that which you have called us to lay hold of. Almighty God, I just pray you bless this. Let your anointing rest upon me that I can effectively preach your word this morning and anoint the listeners, Lord, both in this place and online, Lord. I just pray pray your anointing would come in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You may take a seat. You know, we've been on this series now for the last few weeks. This is the last of this series that I'm going to preach called The Blessed Life. Everybody say The Blessed Life. We've talked about a lot. We've talked about being blessed in relationships, work relationships, having favor in what we set our hands to do. All of these messages are available online, Facebook. You can go and track them down. We've talked about being blessed in our marriages and in our families. We've talked about being blessed in our finances. And last week we talked about being blessed in our bodies, how God wants to release healing and these sorts of things. Understand, I think this is twofold. This is why I believe for blessings. First of all, I believe for blessings because I want you blessed. I believe that Jesus paid for it. And listen, this is why I have a conviction. We will always lay hands. We will always pray for people that need healing in their bodies because Jesus paid for it. And if Jesus suffered and he made this available, I feel like we have a responsibility to release what Jesus has made available. Does that make sense to you? The other thing, and this may even be more important to me personally, I mean, you can make a good theological argument for both, but the other reason that I want to see you blessed in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, the Bible lays out one of God's plans, his strategy in how he will lead the children of Israel in particular, how he will lead the nation of Israel back to himself, even here in this last day. And the way that he's going to do that is through the Bible says, provoking them to godly jealousy. Everybody say godly jealousy. Now, what that looks like is you should be able to look around this room and say, boy, if a marriage can be that good, if I could have what Minister Roland and Linda have, if they got that because they're serving Jesus and that's what a God-honoring boy, I would like to have that in my life. I'm telling you, an unbeliever should be able to look at our lives. They should be able to look at our health. They should be able to look at our finances, our favor. They should be able to look at every area of our life. And it's a testament to God's goodness, his provision, his blessing on our lives. And what will happen is, this is not a self-seeking, guys. I want you to understand. I'm not talking about, I want you guys to get rich so we can all buy BMWs and we can have big houses. I'm talking about, first of all, we're going to receive that which God has made available for us. And second of all, when God blesses us, it's going to be a testament. God is going to receive glory, and it's going to draw people unto him. And so this is why I want to see us blessed. Now, we've laid out some of the blessings, and I'm going to tell you guys, we're going to have Mother's Day, and then after that, I'm going to start a new series. Who knows what is, there's a holiday, there's a celebration that is the week after Mother's Day. Who knows what that is? Pentecost. Everybody say Pentecost. I believe wholeheartedly what Shalia was sharing a moment ago. I believe, church, we have done so much work. So many of you have given, time, you have worked your back, you have done so much to make this house and to bring it just to the next level. But this is my expectancy, and this is what I want to put in your heart. In the Bible, you'll see this theme consistently. For example, when they finished the Temple of Solomon, what happened is, they created this amazing, beautiful place of worship. They came together and they had a celebration. They were giving God glory for what he had done. And guess what happened? The Spirit of God began to move in such a manifest way that it was literally as if a cloud was coming down upon that place. Fire from heaven literally consumed the sacrifice that was being given. And the glory of God was so strong upon that place that literally priests, individuals, men and women of God could not enter into the house of God. And I'm telling you, church, if all we have is a beautiful building and that's all that this is, we have failed. We can go. I've been to Germany. And we could go over there sometime and we could go and tour these amazing multi-million dollar buildings with beautiful stained glass windows and stonework that you wouldn't even believe. But you go into these places and they're as dead as anything. I mean, we met a pastor. I could not believe. This is a true story. We were there in Germany several years ago, and we go. We were doing some homeless ministry. We walked by a church, and they were just finishing a funeral. And so the pastor was there, and we just decided we're going to go meet this guy. So we went and talked to him, and come to find out, we start talking, and the translator is translating in German for us, and he ends up turning to us, and he says, I'm going to start witnessing to this guy. And that confused me. Wait, this is a pastor. You're going to start witnessing to this guy? But this is what we found out, that there are individuals that they've got things set up that you can't be married, you can't have certain benefits, you can't get certain burial plots unless you are a member of a church. And what has happened is that it's become such a secularized environment that what they've done is the government has actually started appointing pastors into these places. And this guy isn't even a believer himself. He considers himself a history teacher. And so here we are. I mean, the churches are beautiful, but some of these churches, you've got pastors that don't even believe in God. I mean, they are professing atheists that are, well, I'll teach you the history of the Bible. I'll teach you the history of the man Jesus, although I don't put faith in him for eternity. Isn't that tragic? This is why, church, we're never going to be that. We're gonna do what we can to make this building beautiful, but I'm like Moses when he said, God, if you don't show up, God, if you're not coming with me, if you're not gonna do what we're gonna do, then I'm not going anywhere. Okay? And we can make a building beautiful, and we can put on the best worship and all this, but if God doesn't show up in this place, oh, what's the point? And so we're really going to begin here in a couple weeks on Pentecost. We're going to begin a series. I'm not going to tell you what it's called. I've already got it planned out. And we've got some neat things. It's going to be a big party, okay? We're going to celebrate what God has done, but then we're going to begin to just believe and contend for a mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. How many of you believe that God wants to touch Lahaina in a historic way? He wants to touch West Maui and all of Maui. This is the time. This is the season for it. And so let's look here for a moment. I just want to pull out a couple things. Now, we're tapping into the blessings of God. Amen? We're beginning now. Now, one thing that I want to highlight for you, and I just want to make you aware of this. This is a neat transition that Joshua is looking at here. Here, Moses has died. They've had their 40 years in the wilderness, and finally, it is time to move into the promised land. That's where I feel like we are as a church. I feel like we're right there. Like, God, you've laid out some words. You've prophesied about revival. I know that there's blessings in store. I know there's a healing move that's coming. I know that our youth are getting saved. I know that you're doing amazing things, and we're right at the brink. We're right on the edge, and this is kind of the place that Joshua was in. But let's look at some of the things that happened with Joshua, because he did a pretty good job, but there were some hiccups in the road. And how many know that blessings are not just going to fall in your lap? Revival is not just going to happen. There's going to be a process by which we cross over the Jordan, where we begin to move in, where we begin to take possession of that which God has for us. In fact, that's what I've titled this message, Possessing the Inheritance. For those of you who like to take notes, that's what I've called this, Possessing the Inheritance. I love what Joshua says in 1 verse 5. It says this, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. My first point this morning is that we need to honor one another. If we are going to possess that which God has for each and every one of us, we need to learn to honor one another. See, Joshua is amazing. And one thing that he did very well, we read it in the very first verse, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Now, I heard a pretty neat testimony yesterday We were sitting with some of the pastors. It's conference week, by the way. You come to service tonight at 6 o'clock at the cathedral. It's been wonderful. Last night was a powerful night. But we were sitting and talking with some of the pastors and just individuals. Pastors were talking about what a blessing it is that their kids are serving the Lord and they're going after God. And just in the course of conversation, I asked Pastor Daniel Bracken, our pastor in Alaska. I asked him, Pastor Daniel, where did you go to school? He was talking about his daughter in college and some of the testing of her faith, and she's standing strong, resilient. But I mean, you got unsaved professors raising up the next generation of pastors. I won't go off on that tangent. That irritates me, okay? But so anyway, I asked Pastor Dan, where'd you go to Bible school? And he's like, well, I studied Dr. Morocco. He's like, I got saved in this church. He's like, my life was hell before I got right with God. I was an addict and I knew how miserable it was. And then I came into the church and I saw this man of God whose family loved the Lord, who God was blessing. He was free, you know, and God was using him in a great way. And so he's like, I studied that man of God. He didn't study at a college. I mean, he did Berea and he did some online education stuff. But you know what he did? He studied that man of God. There's something about honor. You're going to hear me talk a lot about honor this morning. Everybody say honor. You need to learn this, okay? We need to be a people of honor. If we are going to see God move the way that he desires to, one thing that Joshua did right, the reason he was able to step into that inheritance and lead people into their inheritance was because he first honored the man of God, Moses. He served as his assistant for years. And this is something, listen, you find a ministry to work with, you find a leader to get under, you find a life group to get plugged into, you honor and serve this. But here's one thing that I want to shift our thinking. You know, it's easy for us, listen carefully, it's easy for us to honor people and to serve people that we know are better than us at something, right? It's easy for me, like if I know that, you know, well, somebody's very blessed in their finances, I'm going to receive and honor you when it comes to, hey, give me some financial counsel on this thing. Or if I'm looking at a parent whose kids are all serving the Lord and they've been in this thing for 40 years, I will listen and I will honor them as a parent. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's easy to honor somebody like Dr. Morocco, who God has used, and he's a man of God and he's a man of righteousness. But you know, the Bible says, I wrote this verse down. It says in Philippians 2:3 that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. I believe that honor is not only honoring the man of God, the pastor, the ministers in this house. I believe that honor is the single mother who walks into this place, that you help them find their way around this church, that, you know, the kid who doesn't know how to behave in a church service, that you love on them and you take them as your own. You know, I believe that this is what honoring all people is. When we get homeless that come into this ministry and into this place, that, you know what, we love them as if they were our own family. And no matter where people are coming from, we're going to love and we're going to honor. I feel like we're good. KC's got a great culture of honor when it comes to honoring honorable men. But what about the people that are broken and downcast and, you know, that you know, the regular, most people in the world aren't looking at this situation and like, well, I just don't know about honor. No, we're going to be a people that honor. We're going to be a people that honor one another. This is one thing that Joshua did well. He honored Moses and he served Moses with everything. And he did this with others as well. And we see this throughout you can read Joshua. I'm primarily talking out of the first few chapters here. Read it on your own. It's a fascinating kind of thing. Here's the second thing that I see about Joshua and what he did very well. Number two, he honored the Holy Spirit. He honored the Holy Spirit. See, now, I love this, what it says here. Look at, he says, Have I not commanded you? Well, let me see. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then he says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then he says in verse 11, pass through the camp, prepare provisions for yourselves. Within 3 days, you will cross over the Jordan, go in and possess the land. Everybody say, possess the land. Possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Now, what's interesting is God begins to speak about how he is going to move in Joshua's life. In fact, if you hop over to chapter 3 in verse 7, the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. This is an amazing thing. What happens is it's time. Now, we're going to cross over into the promised land. We're going to begin to take possession of the land which God has called us to lay hold of. And so what Joshua does is he gets all the people ready. And I don't know, I don't hear too many people talk about this miracle. We hear about Moses and his rod and the sea splitting. Did you know that God did a similar miracle with Joshua? Here, he leads and the priests come and they go into the Jordan River. And as soon as the Ark of the Covenant touches the water, the Bible says that the waters began to heap up on itself. It wasn't a wall on either side, but it was a wall on one side, and it completely stopped the river from flowing down the other side. The ground was immediately dried. The priest stood right there in the middle of this river, and the whole nation of Israel was able to cross over. God began to elevate Joshua as the Holy Spirit began to rest mightily upon him. The same anointing that was on Moses was now being released over Joshua in his life. Listen, don't elevate yourself. As we go, as we serve, you're going to find these opportunities where you're serving, you're doing, you're giving, you're being faithful with little things, with large things, whatever it is. And you're going to have these moments where God takes you and he elevates you. He moves you to the next place. This is I'm just telling you, we need to stay in this place that God, I'm going to do what you assign me to do and I'm not going to do anything else. God, I'm not going to get ahead of this. Guys, I mean, I have dreams, okay? And my wife knows. I mean, she's like, I'm like the dog that's chomping at the bit and just trying to, you know, just trying to get out ahead. And she's like the owner who's got the collar and just, you know, hey, slow down a little bit. You know, I want to do everything. But there's times, and I've learned this. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've gotten ahead of God a time or two. I've tried to make something happen when it wasn't God's time for it quite yet. And I'm just telling you, we're not doing that. We're gonna stay in tune. Holy Spirit, what do you want to do right now? What are you preparing to do in this season? See, I want the same testimony, the way I was with Moses. And then here, you know, church, we have the opportunity today, as the Spirit has been poured out on all of us, we have the opportunity that, you know what, Holy Spirit, the same way you were on the apostles in the upper room, the same way that you moved in those guys, I believe that you can be with us. The same thing that you did here in the late 1800s, in the early 1900s, when you were pouring out your Spirit in a revival here in Lahaina, God, I believe that the same way you did it there, you can do it right here today, right now. And you can use each and every one of us. This is the place where I want our faith to be. And so Joshua goes, he splits the sea, and there's a blessing. Now, here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to talk extensively about in this next series. How many know that in order to lay hold of blessings, the possessing that which God has for us, very often there's a fight involved. Everybody say fight. Now, that might not be a fun word for you to consider, but I'm telling you, there is a fight that is done. You know, they cross over that river, and here they have the opportunity. Okay, we're going to begin to take hold of the land, but who knows? The very first thing that they see as they cross over there, you'll see it in chapter 5 and moving into chapter 6, you'll see the city Jericho. And here they know that this is part of what God has promised to them, but now they've got a city. And guess what? If they're going to lay hold of that which God has, there is a process where they have to contend, where they have to fight. Again, if the blessing's not just going to be dropped in their lap, they walk across the river and all these people just decide, you know what? We're just going to give you all this land because your God just said, you know that. You know, you understand. You're going to get your family saved. There's going to be a fight to it. They're gonna butt heads with you. They're gonna say, shut up with that. I don't wanna hear about this Jesus, about this. That thing doesn't work for me. I'm not like you are. If you're gonna contend and see healing break out, there's gonna be a contending for this thing. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just drop into our lap. There is a process where it's like, okay, God, I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to press into this thing until I see the breakthrough. I'm not going to give up because it gets difficult. And you know what? Here, it's an amazing kind of deal. They have this, an angel appears to Joshua. You can read about this in chapter 5. An angel appears to Joshua and gives him the strategy. Right? And this is where we're gonna be patient, and Holy Spirit, tell us when and how and where you're going to do this. And so he has an angel appear to him, and you guys know how this whole story goes. Joshua, he gets the instruction. You take the priests, you get 7 priests with 7 trumpets. You march around the city. You do this 6 days in a row. Okay, you go and you're gonna march around the city. You're gonna go around this thing, and you're gonna be silent. Still got the worshipers right front and center, but you be silent as you do this. And on the 7th day, you're going to do this 7 times, right? They're going to go and they're going to circle, and they circle 7 different times. And then the Bible talks about how they release this incredible shout, and they blow the trumpets, and they do all of this. And I love what the Bible says happens. It says in chapter 7, and is it chapter 7 in verse 1? No, that's not it. Where is it? 6:5. And it shall come to pass when you make the long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that the people shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. The people will go up, every man straight before him. Now, this is interesting. Let me break down some Hebrew for you here. When the Bible says that the wall will fall down, let's see exactly what it says. This is a New King James. It will fall down flat. The city wall will fall down flat. Now, I've seen cartoons and movies and VeggieTales and all these guys try and illustrate exactly what this looks like as that wall comes down. But God did something so radical in this. In fact, your translation might read a little differently, but when they lifted up that shout and they began to release this cry and this trumpet blast before in front of this wall, those walls did not fall down. It was literally as if, have you ever taken and driven like a tent peg into the ground? This is what God did with that wall. It's like God's hand from heaven came and shoved those walls down into the ground. That's what he meant, to come down flat. He leveled those walls, not falling down, but going down. Can you imagine how dramatic that would be? I'd like to see the illustration, Hollywood do something. Man, there's some amazing stories in the Old Testament. I don't know why Hollywood, they need to tap into more. You could do an epic on the life of David. I'm telling you, this would be like Star Wars epic kind. You know, it's just, you could have an amazing trilogy. You could have 6 movies with just all the different, that's a different deal. Okay, so... But so here they go, and they move into, they have this incredible victory in Jericho. Now, you're getting blessed, and I want you to hear me. This is where I'm getting into something really important here this morning. This is really the meat of what I want to talk about. Do you know that most of the time when people struggle in their faith the most, I've been in this long enough, and most of you have observed Christianity long enough, that when I see people backslide the most is not when they're in a trial in their life. I've noticed that when difficulties are happening, when people are struggling, when their kids are away from the Lord, when they're sick in their body, when they've got some oppression that's coming against them, when their finances are strapped, when they got a legal issue over here, when their job is on the line, or maybe they've been let go, or maybe their house. These are the moments. How many know you've been in situations like this, and what does it do? It tends to push us on our face. We fall before God. I mean, how many of you, you're going through a trial and then your prayer life becomes that much better? Am I the only one? Okay. I mean, it's most of us. But what happens is most of the time we step into a blessing. Now they have just laid hold of the first plot of land, the first piece of inheritance that God has for them. And this is where they begin to struggle. They have their first great victory. Now, God was very clear with the children of Israel. He says, listen, as you go, I'm going to give this to you, but you're not going to take the gold. You're not going to take the silver, the cattle. You're not going to take anything from this city. You know what that was? He was saying, this is a tithe to me. I'm going to give you many cities and many land, but you're going to give this first one to me. And that's exactly what God did. And so you go through this story. Now, something happens in chapter 7. And look at this in chapter 7 in verse 1. It says, the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zibdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. And watch what happened. They go into the next battle. Now, Jericho was a massive city. And what they end up doing is they go and they fight a tiny little village called Ai. And they think, we're just going to send, we've just had this amazing victory. We have well-trained warriors. We are just going to send, I think, is it 3,000? We're going to send 3,000 individuals. And they're going to go because the people of Ai are very few. So they send 3,000 people there. And this is what happens in verse 5. The men of Ai struck down 36 men. They chased them from before the gate as far as Shabarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell on the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders in Israel put dust on their head, and Joshua said, alas, God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan to deliver us to the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content to dwell on the other side of the Jordan. And look at this. I like what God responds to him. Have you ever been in this place? Something's going wrong. The inheritance isn't there. It's not going according to plan. God, how could you do this to me? Has your promises failed? Why would you give me that word to come over here and to lay hold of this when you knew that difficulty was going to be here? Maybe Joshua is the only one who's ever dealt with. But in verse 10, this is what he said. The Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel, listen to this. Oh, church, I want you to listen very, very carefully to what I'm about to say. Israel has sinned. They transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. They have taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived. And they have put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed for destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed things among you. Get up. Sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow, thus says the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away these accursed things from you. Listen, here's the last thing that I want to exhort you in this morning. We need to honor one another. We need to honor the Holy Spirit, but we need to honor the Word of God. God was very, very clear. You go into Jericho, I'm giving you this city. And as you go into there, you don't take anything for yourself. It's a tithe to me. That's my city. Those treasures belong to me. But here's a moron, Achan. And he sees, and you read this, is moron a bad? I feel like Dr. Morocco says meaner words than that. So verse 21, This is what Achan said. I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and I took them, and they're hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. This guy sees some pocket change in a coat that he likes. And he takes that which God said so clearly, this belongs to me. I'm giving you this city, you give it back. You don't take any of this for yourself. But this guy sees a couple coins in a jacket that he wants for himself. Now, what I find so interesting, listen, I feel the anointing on this. This is what happened. Here, 36 individuals are killed because one person sins. And now that might not sound like a big number. Well, Pastor, 3,000 went in there. 30's not a lot to lose in a war. Think about it this way. That's 36 fathers. That's 36 husbands. That's 30. Imagine if we take, I don't know how many men are in this room right now, but you take a quarter, a third of the people that are in this room, and we'll just slaughter them. This is what happened here because one man sinned. But I want you to look at what the Bible actually says here. This is look at chapter 7 in verse 1 again. The children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. Who committed a sin? The children of Israel. The Bible doesn't say one man, Achan, took this garment and he took these coins and he took a wedge of gold. No, he said the children of Israel have sinned. What in the world am I getting at? I want you to think about this for a minute. This is why, if you've ever been here, every single morning during early morning prayer, I will take time and I will repent on behalf. We're tearing down strongholds, demonic strongholds that we believe exist over this region and area, but we're not going to tolerate them to exist in this region forever. And so we're going to see things like addiction. We're going to see things like abortion. We're going to see things like jealousy and competition and pornography and lust and we're going to see these things come down. And you know what I do every single morning? If you've been here for early morning prayer, you've heard me do this on many occasions. I repent every single morning. I repent. This is what Joshua, the nation has sinned. It was only one man. But the nation, you'll look, and I'm going to share about Ezra and Nehemiah here in a couple weeks. And you know what they did? God began to speak to them about rebuilding the city. But he began to speak to them about sin. And you know what, Ezra? You know what, Nehemiah, this priest and this government worker? These guys didn't say, oh yeah, it's all these guys who have married and they're worshiping idols. And no, they took responsibility. You know what? This is my people. This is my church family. And I'm going to take an active role. I'm not just going to put it on the one guy who sinned, because we're all one body. And we're all in this thing together. You remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6. Here, he has this incredible encounter. He sees the Lord seated on the throne. And God begins to speak to him and bring conviction. And what does he say? He says, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He not only took responsibility for his own sin, but he took responsibility for the sins of his people. And some of you might be wondering, Pastor, what does this have to do with anything? I'm telling you, church, if we don't understand this concept, it is going to handicap what God wants to do in our midst. And let me show you this. This might be a new concept for some of you guys, but here Achan, one man sins, and it affects the whole nation. Some of you, maybe this has been a puzzling verse. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is giving instruction about communion. And here he says that there are some among you who have not honored Jesus in the receiving of the Lord's Supper. You've done this dishonorably. And he says, because some of you have sinned. Read the verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, because some of you have sinned. This is what he said. Many are sick. Many are weak. And many have died. Some sinned, It affected many. What does this mean for us? You remember Jesus on one occasion was ministering. And the Bible says that there were a few there who began to mock and scorn, and they didn't like the ministry of Jesus. And so what these individuals did is they didn't honor him. There's that word honor again. And the Bible says, I've got the verse written down. The Bible talks about how Jesus could perform. No, it's in Mark chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus was hindered from ministering to other people because there were some that were in disbelief. There were some that did not honor the man of God. I'm telling you guys, if we don't get on the same page and say, you know what, I'm believing that God is going to move in a mighty way here in Lahaina. If we're not on the same page on that thing, it's going to hinder what God wants to do in our midst. And we need to understand that our sin isn't just about us. I learned a long time ago that if I open up my life to junk, it affects my marriage, it affects my children. As a pastor who is responsible for souls, I understand that if I open myself up to garbage, it's going to overflow onto you guys. See, this is something that we just don't talk about very much. It's like, well, as long as I'm good, as long as I'm safe from hell, then you understand that here, one man sins, it affected the entire nation. You guys understand? You're like, Pastor, you talk about the blessed life. Listen, there are requirements for every single one of these blessings. You understand? The Bible talks about how who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in His holy presence? Who can come into the presence of Almighty God? Do you know the answer? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Whose soul has not been given up to falsehood or idolatry, who's not lied or sworn deceitfully. This is who can come into the presence of God. Listen to me. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities, this is repeated sin, your iniquities have created a separation between you and God, and your sins have hid His face from you so He cannot hear. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, why isn't my family blessed? And you're like Achan. You've got some little closet sin that literally you've swept under the rug. This is what Achan did. Well, I've just got this closet alcohol thing. I've just got this closet pornography thing. I just got a girlfriend on the side. I got a boyfriend on the side. And you just sweep this thing under the rug. As long as nobody knows about it, it's not hurting anything. I'm telling you, God cannot bless something that is cursed. If you've opened yourself up to something, you're saying, you know what, God? You wonder, why? Why? I preached on this series. I've talked about being blessed in our work, in our relationship. And Joseph, he got beat up because of his pride, his self-exaltation. He had to go through hell on this earth until he was literally in a prison cell before he got it. He had some junk that he had to deal with in his life. But what happened? Here one man finally gets it. And now a nation is saved and his family is saved because one guy, it works both ways. You wonder why. Why isn't my family blessed? And why God's not going to bless your marriage? Listen, if you're not married, you can't expect blessings on your relationships. You can't expect your children to be raised in a godly way if you're not married. This is, you're in sin. This is why I didn't ask permission to share this story, but I just won't tell you who it is, and then it's okay. But there's a young man, he's in the KC world, and he was living with his girlfriend. She gets pregnant. They come into this church. He loves the Lord. God's done a great work in his life. He wants to serve. He wants to be in ministry, all this kind of stuff. And I told him flat out, listen, you can't be blessed, you can't minister, you can't do all of this if you're living in sin. You need to get married. You know what he did? The next, like it was like 2 days later, he goes down to the courthouse, he gets married. He understood that God could not bless him while he was living in this sinful, cursed place. He knew that his child, who is his girlfriend, now wife, was carrying in her belly, that child would not be blessed to the degree that God desired to. Why? Because sin separates us. I wonder why our prayers are hindered, why our prayers aren't being answered. Listen, you go to the courthouse tomorrow. I'll perform a wedding ceremony right after this service. But this is something we gotta get this thing in line. And listen, I know I'm coming down hard on this, okay? I want you to hear it. The reason that I'm doing this, it's for two reasons, maybe three. I want you blessed. And you won't be. You're going to be frustrated. God, why aren't my fine? You know what's happened to this young man? I've watched God elevate him. I'm watching him. Now, he's leading. He's helping lead our student outreach in the schools. I'm watching him. He's receiving job promotion after job promotion. He's receiving raises in his work just over the last few months since he's why? Because God is now he's right and God's opening the heavens over his life. I mean, this is simple, but God can't bless your family. God can't bless your finances if you're not being obedient in your tithing and your giving. He can't. There's a separation that's there. He can't bless what is cursed. It'll affect your life. And you're saying, Pastor, are you saying that we need to be perfect? No. You know what the Bible says? I just read the verse here. Get up. This is in Joshua 7, verse 13. Get up. Sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves. You know what that word sanctify means? Listen. I'm not saying that we got to be perfect if God's going to bless us. But that word sanctify means the process of God making us holy. So you might not say, Pastor, I've got this issue and I got this issue and I got this and I got this. You know, you got a whole list of it, and most of us do. The question is, are you in the process of getting these things right? Are you in the process of moving toward? Are you becoming more and more conformed to the image and the likeness of Christ? Or are you still in the same place that you were 5 years ago? Are you in process? Are we being sanctified? Are we being made holy? And so we need to get right with God. I'm going to share one word with you, and then we'll close. You know, I said that this works both ways. You look at Achan, you look at so many of these different occasions where God and his ministry was hindered because one person was in compromise, where one person, it opened the floodgates and it affected the whole group of people. But do you know it works the other way as well? And one of the things, I don't ever want you to think, that I'm being hard or judgmental, any of this kind of thing. You know, this is my belief, that if you're in this kind of place, if you're struggling in your finances, you're struggling in your relationships, you're struggling in your workplace, you're struggling in raising your kids, or you're struggling with the idea of marriage, whatever it might be, listen, God expects more. And I believe more for you. I believe God wants to move you to a place that, man, you can't even wrap your head around right now. You might think, man, I'm pretty good right now, Pastor. I think I'm okay. But church, I've stepped into seasons in my life where I just feel like, man, I wrestle and I fight and I toil and I struggle, and then I move into this place of blessing, and it's just like you guys don't know what a sled is going, you know what a sled is? Like on the snow, you know, it's just like, what's another example? It's like you catch the wave on the ocean. I don't know. But it's just like, man, God just moves you forward, and it's effortless. You don't even have to do anything. He just moves you into the most amazing place. In church, I've been there. I feel like that's where we are right now. How can we come into KC Lahaina and we want to make renovations and upgrades, and God just drops $80,000 into our lap? You know, what is that? That's favor. That's the fruit of a people who've prayed and served and given. And I mean, it's you guys who've been faithful and been faithful for years, many of you. And God's just saying, listen, this is a blessing. And I'm going to give this into you, and I'm going to move you to a new place, and you're not going to have to struggle. I mean, you imagine how long would it take for us to raise $82,000 if we were receiving offerings? In addition to just all the other things that go on in this church, it would have taken us years probably. But God just says here, I'm telling you, church, that's blessing. That's the kind of stuff that God wants to open up to each and every one of our lives. If I could have maybe a piano come. And as I close, some of you might remember the first week. I think it was the first Sunday that I came here as pastor. And I taught everybody a Greek word, homothumadon. Remember this? Homothumadon is the word that when you read in Acts chapter 2, that they were assembled in one place in one accord. Spirit of God came. That one place, one accord, homothumadon. It means same fire or same passion. These weren't people that were disjointed. Well, we're not together on this. This wasn't about people that, well, we're mostly on board, but we got this sin issue going on over here. No, these were a people that they were together and they were hungry for a move of God. They were together and they wanted to see God do something amazing. In fact, if you do, you can do a word study, and that you search out that word homothumadon, you will find every time that God moved in great power, that every time that God poured out his spirit in a great measure, especially in the book of Acts, you'll find that that word homothumadon is usually the verse before or the verse immediately after. This is what happens when the people are in one mind. We've got one passion. We've got the same fire. We're all going after the same thing. God begins to move in ways that are beyond description. That's where I want us to be. What I want to do is, man, I feel like I've been beating up some of you guys. The thing is, we're all people in process. And the verse that I shared there out of Galatians, we're to bear one another's burdens. You know, the reason I'll talk about sin, the reason I'll say, listen, you're living here, but you can be here. The reason I'll do that is because I see potential in you. I see the opportunity for blessing, and I want to grab you by the arm and help bring you to the place that God wants you to be in. It's not about me just wanting to beat you up about sin or you're not doing this one right. It's not that at all. Just saying, I know where God wants to take us. I know where God wants to take you. And I want to help you get there. And that's what the Bible says. We're to be that for you. It's not just me. We should be that for one another. For each and every one of us, we say, listen, you got this attitude thing that stinks right now, but I know you could be right here. My wife will come to me. She's the best one in my life to do this. Jake, when you said this, say it this way. She'll correct me. And you know what it does? I don't get mad at her. How dare you talk to me that way? Who are you to talk? I'd take a jab back at her. You know what? You're right. Yeah, that was self-seeking. Yeah, that was arrogant. Yeah, that was a jerk, you know, whatever it might be. I've been all those things. Oh, she does that because she wants to see me come to the next level. It's love. That's what Jesus wants for each and every one of us. I want you to stand all across this room. Listen, I know there's a whole lot of things that you could have taken away from this. I've hit on tithing, I've hit on marriage, I've hit on pornography, I've hit on envy, there's a lot. And I'm sure all of us are stained in one area or another. But the question is, are we in the process? We're saying, Holy Spirit, sanctify me. Lord, in the places that my actions, my words grieve your heart, forgive me. Forgive this people. Lord, even all of West Maui, we stand as intercessors. God, I know. I know that you desire to pour out your Spirit in historic revival. And God, I know that we're not going to have it in the place that we're in right now. Each and every one of us is going to have to come to a new place. Each and every one of us are going to have to draw nearer. Each and every one of us are going to have to things that need to be cut off of our lives and new things that need to be brought in. God, as I press in, and Lord, it's my belief that what you want to do is going to be about so much more than this little church in Lahaina. But you want to impact all of West Maui. You want to touch our entire island. And God, I believe even what you could spark right here in this place, Lord, is in preparation for the last day outpouring of your Spirit that's going to touch the globe. God, I pray that as we begin to press in towards the promises and the things that you have for us, just as Joshua's the children of Israel, God, let there be no compromise. Don't let the allure of a coin, of a garment, Lord Jesus, lead us astray. Foolish and stupid things, God. You know, I think about that. How? What was Achan thinking? Taking a jacket. He can't wear it. This is what the devil does, man. We'll make the stupidest decisions. And it makes sense in that moment. What was he even thinking? Where's he going to wear that thing? He won't ever have a chance. You know what they did to Achan? Took him out and they stoned him and they lit him on fire. Real pleasant. We're not going to do that to anybody here today. Praise God. Because you know what? Jesus became the sacrifice for our sin. He died so we don't have to. What I want to do, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to know, nobody looking around, this is between me, you, and Jesus. But you say, Pastor, I've got things in my life like Achan, things I've swept under the rug, things that I know aren't right. And I know it keeps me from being blessed. I know it keeps my family from being blessed. And maybe it even affects this church. I'm not asking if you've never given your life to Jesus. I'm not even asking you to rededicate. But I'm just asking, are there things in your life that you want to ask Jesus to cleanse? Are there things in your life that you're saying, Lord, I need you to sanctify this? Might be something that you've dealt with for years and you don't even know how you're going to work past it. But by the grace of God, today He can begin that process. Today He can move you into the place that He desires you to be. So nobody's looking around, but I want to know, Pastor, you're speaking to my heart in one area or another. I've got some things that have been swept under the rug, and I'm giving it to Jesus today. I'm giving it to Jesus today. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so many. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, I see you. Oh. Everybody just lift your hands to heaven right now. God, I pray that your grace would just begin to saturate this place. Lord, those who are here today and they're, Lord, in their humility, they say, yes, Lord, I've got some things in my life that I know don't line up with your word, with your standard, that it grieves your spirit, that it's not honoring to other people. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, all those who lifted up their hands or those who didn't, God, I don't know if it's a stubbornness thing. I don't know if it's a pride thing. I don't know if it's an arrogance thing, God. But I just pray that you would do a work in each and every heart all across this room. That you would move us into a place, God, where we say, Jesus, having your favor and having your blessing, having your salvation is more important to me than the convenience of sin, than keeping something hidden, than the convenience of whatever it might be, God. There is nothing that is worth us forsaking your touch on our lives. Lord, we will lay hold of the inheritance that you have for us. But I pray, God, that everything in our heart that reflects what Achan had in his heart, God, would you expose it? Would you uproot it? And would you take it from us today? God, speak to us. I just want you to put your hand over your heart right now. Lord, I ask that you would strengthen each and every one here. God, that you would move us into a place where we're not united in division. We're not united in discontent. We're not, Lord, we're not in agreement about a sin issue. But Lord, I pray that homothumadon, that same burning passion and fire, Lord, a yearning to see your spirit poured out. Lord, a hunger for a move of God. Lord, a desire to see all that you want to do. God, right now, would you release and give us your heart? Feel moved even to the point of weeping here this morning. And you know what I see? I see as if Jesus himself is saying, come up here. Come to this place with me. I know I might have come down heavy-handed on some things this morning, but I pray that you hear my heart today. Jesus is calling us. And in the name of Jesus, receive this as a prophetic word over your life. You're not going to miss the inheritance that God has for your life. You will not miss the inheritance that God has for your life. You will not miss the blessing that God has for your life. You will be blessed. You will receive that which God intends for you to. And you will be a part of what God does in this last day. It's not going to be a sin. It's not going to be a compromise. It's not going to be an attitude that keeps you away from it. There's not going to be a brokenness. There's not going to be a relationship. Nothing is going to separate you from God, from his love, and what he desires to do. Ah, Lord. Jesus, just bless us.